Go to Psalms 34, if you would. Psalms 34. We're going to start there first. Something I want to make an announcement that you may or may not know, but today at 1 o'clock, there's going to be, did Joe already make that? There's going to be, it's a town hall, I guess you'd say, in Utopia at the Senior Citizens Building, right? It's not community building, it's Senior Citizens Building. Community building? Community building, by the firehouse. By the firehouse, not the Senior Citizens Building, the community building. We only have two in town, so you know it's hard to figure out. If you don't know if it's not the one, go to the next one. But the candidate, Mr. Consejo, that's going to be running for our district is going to be down there. He's going to be speaking and just have a town hall, come by, meet him, see whatever. It starts at 1 o'clock, but they're going to be there till probably 2. So after we get through eating on dinner on the grounds, if you want to go down there, stop and meet him, you ought to do that. Amen? Okay, Psalms 34, verse 19. I want you to look at here. And let's just pray before we get into this. Lord, I just thank you this morning that as I minister this word, I preach the word, I do what you've laid on my heart. I just thank you, Lord, that you begin to open up our understanding and open up our revelation and help us to grow and to understand your word today. Because, Lord, your word tells us that the entrance of your word is what brings life to us and brings light to us and changes everything going on in our lives. And so, Lord, that's what we want this morning. We need a revelation from heaven. And so, Father, I thank you today for the anointing of God, for just speaking into the hearts of the people, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Hey, Christy, I got a little echo in the speaker up here. I mean, the monitors. You can just knock me out of them or something. Thank you, Jesus. Psalms 34, verse 19. Says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Nobody wants to hear that. But it's in the Bible. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, it's in the Bible. You know, you got to take the whole counsel of God's word. You can't read your Bible and with a highlighter pen on one side and an X-Acto knife on the other. You can't highlight what you like and cut out what you don't like. You know, you can't read the part that says, oh, if you confess and believe in Jesus Christ, you're saved and you're going to go to heaven and go down the streets of gold and mansions, but then cut out the part that says, love your brother. Husbands, love your wife. You can't cut that out and say, well, that didn't really mean love in those days didn't really mean love like we know love today. No, you can't do that, all right? So the scripture says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but, everybody say but. There's something to this. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Everybody say all. The problem is most people, if you're like me, you don't want to be afflicted. Affliction is not a word that I even like in my vocabulary. I don't like affliction. I don't like suffering. I don't like lack. I don't like to be hungry. Fasting's not a word I like. And I'm the preacher. You with me? Those are not words I want in my vocabulary. I want easy. I want downhill. Right? I want ice cream. I want roses, glory, hallelujah. Am I preaching right here? I mean, that's our human nature. We don't want to be afflicted. You know, you take the story of Job, and it's so funny how people, you can almost tell a person, you know, like, you know how they always have the test, is a glass half full or half empty? Well, if you get around Christians, you just listen to what their understanding of Job is, then you can figure out if they're what kind of a person that they are in their personality, because some people focus on the part, oh, well, God let this happen. Another person focuses on, well, it was the devil that did it. And then the other person focuses on, you know, oh, but God, look what God did at the end. And so you focus on this. But the thing was, is when you look at the whole story of Job, that a lot of people forget is that he was afflicted. No matter what. And so I want to talk to you today, and it's a two-part message, because next week's going to be better, more shouting areas than this one is today, okay? More areas of text. So you want to come back to, you know, shout glory, hallelujah, and get the second half, because the second half is better than the first half. But I need to lay down some legwork here about this passage, because no matter how you look at it, church, Christians spend way too much time trying to figure out why they're afflicted than getting rid of afflictions. See, to me, it's like if there's flies in my house, I want to find the hole they got in and then get them out as quick as I can, not sit around thinking about what kind of flies are they, where did they come from, why are there flies? What has attracted them to my house? What is the deal? Did I build my house in the wrong place? I should have been up. It's too tall. It's too short. It's too red. It's the color of the paint. And now there's Christians running around their whole lives missing life, missing what God has them, because they're trying to figure out, well, why is this and why is that? And I'm telling you, sometimes they're just flies. Sometimes it has nothing to do with nothing. And you say, well, we need to know that. No, you're too analytical. You need to quit thinking about why did the fly come and just deal with it, get over it. If there's a hole, find the hole and patch it and get on. Because you can spend your life trying to figure out, where did the affliction come from? Why is there afflictions? Why does God let this happen? Why is this, that, this, is the other? Until you're bonkers. And I don't know about y'all, but, you know, man, I only have so much time, and I don't want to sit around and figure out where the fly came from. So I've tried to divide this up into some different categories to look at, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time, because I think all of y'all understand afflictions. I don't need to tell you what an affliction is. I don't think I'm going to preach this message, you're going to say, oh, that's an affliction. But in case you are wondering, the afflictions, the word in the Old Testament, New Testament, the afflictions mean three things. It can mean three things. One, it can simply just mean bad. It's bad. Something bad happened. Affliction. Or it can mean an infirmity. In the New Testament, there's several scriptures that says those that were sick and had afflictions came to Jesus. And the third one means pressure. Pressure. Have you ever been pressured just because you believe in Jesus? You've been pressured, tempted, and tried to do something that's not godly, and you felt the pressure to do it, even if it was on your own head. Amen? That's the first type of affliction that comes in this world. You're going to get afflicted because you're a Christian. If you want to do right, there's people that don't want to do right, that don't want to hear you say, well, this is the right way to do it. So they automatically are going to pressure you or afflict you because they don't want to hear you saying that, because they don't want to be convicted. I think it's very interesting, and I don't even know the debate. You got to understand something. I'm a cowboy, and there's certain things that are just ingrained in me from where I came from. And there was two classes of people when I was in school. Those that smoked pot and those that didn't. Now, those that didn't could drink everything under the sun made out of corn liquor or anything else, but that was different. And there was a giant line drawn between the two. But nowadays, everybody seems to want to go smoke pot. I laughed. I think I told you this. I heard the new governor in Washington State recently was elected, and he was so happy and so excited about being the governor. And so he decided he's a little more modern. So he decided he'd start a new forum on the internet about that people could write in and say what they thought that needed to be in the state. And so he was all excited, pumped up, yeah. And so they did it, and they launched it out, and it came back. And when he got it, his staff brought in the response. And the first thing was is they said the state should legalize marijuana. And the second one is they should legalize nude beaches. And the governor, you know, was just like, oh, okay. He just sank. His heart sank. It's like, this is, okay, these are my constituents right here. This is what they want to do. Smoke pot and get naked on the beach, you know. And so nothing about the economy of the state or anything else, you know. And I'm just telling you, man left to his own devices is going to come up with some wicked things. You with me? And you can get into the debate, and you can argue the debate, and you can do this, and you can do that, and you can say this, and you can say that, and you can try to twist it, and you can try to do it. But there's certain afflictions that are going to come on you in life just because you stand up and say, no, I don't think that's really a godly way to do it. I don't think we should do it. You're going to get afflicted. Nothing you can do about it. Nothing you can do about it. In our world today, church, listen to me. You are going to be afflicted just for being a Christian and standing up and saying, you know, telling Washington, I think it's wrong to cheat.
Well, this is just politics. We always do this.
I get thrown in jail for doing that. So, I mean, I don't understand the difference here. There's certain things in life you just might as well just strap your boots on tight, because no matter what, if you're going to take a stand against it, you're going to get afflicted. You're going to get afflicted by people, and you're going to get afflicted by every devil in hell, because he wants you to quit. When I got saved, you know, 20-something years ago, when I got saved, you know, I was not, I wasn't a bad person, but I did like to throw back a cold one and do a little few things that we shouldn't have been doing. And I seemed to be always the life of the party, and everybody always called me, didn't want to know where we were going to go. And so I was always into, you know, the mischief for the night. And I was the coordinator of mischief. And where we were going and what we were doing and all that, you know, you could see that now. And when I got saved and I made Jesus the Lord of my life, and I set a few ground rules for my own life of what I was going to do, people began to look at me and say, what are you doing? Wait a minute, you can't do that. You can't. Well, what do you mean? Well, you know, you're the party coordinator. You can't go do this. And immediately affliction came into my life because of the stance I made. And church, there's nothing you can do about that. You're going to find that. It's going to happen. You might as well just buckle your boots on, strap them down tight, say, this is what I believe, and stand there and fight, because that affliction is going to come on you just because you're a Christian. That pressure is going to be there just because you're a Christian. You say sometimes, well, God, I just don't know why I'm having a bad day. You're having a bad day because you're light standing in the midst of darkness. You don't have to have done anything super great. You just had to serve Jesus. You didn't have to go, you know, be holding a crusade. You could just have told your neighbor, and the devil doesn't like that. Y'all with me? So there's a certain amount of pressure, certain amount of afflictions that are going to come on you in life just because you're a Christian. And so Jesus said that you're blessed for being persecuted. For those that are persecuted for his name's sake, says you get a reward in heaven over it. You're not going to see it to the end, but in the end, just like that song says, we're going to see Jesus coming. We're going to understand why everything's going on. We're going to understand the blessings. You're going to be so blown away. Because let me ask you something. If Jesus would come down here on this earth and die for you on the cross and give his life for you, and just so you could be saved when you were rotten, that was a gift he gave us when he, you know, nobody liked you. How much more, now that you're saved in heaven, or is that you think that God's reward is going to be to you when you get on the other side, how big do you think that reward is going to be? And you can't even imagine it. You couldn't even fathom what it is that God will give you for serving him. Now, I don't serve Jesus to get something on the other end, but I'm just telling you, you can't even fathom what God has already done for you, that you it's just there in heaven waiting for you. Just because you're a Christian. The second thing that you're gonna get afflicted by, okay, in this world, okay, is you're gonna get afflicted just because we live in a fallen world. I meant to look it up last night and I forgot to, but how many people are struck by lightning in a year in the United States? It's a good many. They didn't do anything. They weren't walking around with a lightning rod on top of their head. You know, they weren't standing up on tops of tall buildings trying to get struck by lightning. They just simply were walking along and got struck by lightning. Just happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. There's a certain amount of things that's going to happen to you in life, and you can go calculate and figure out why, oh my gosh, why did this happen? Why did this happen? And it just happened just because you happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. It doesn't have anything to do with anything. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world that is not the way it's supposed to be. God set up a garden and he had his presence there and he walked every day. And we live in a world now that things happen and don't have anything to do with anything you did or didn't do. It just happens. There's no answer other than we live in a fallen world. Okay? So, So much do we want to determine it, but you know what? Remember what the scripture says. God said he'd deliver you out of them all. All right? He'd deliver you out of them all. So that's what we got to focus on. Not the why, but the where are we going. All right? Okay. And the third one is the one I really want to major on here. Is found, now turn to Proverbs 16. I want you to see this. When I saw this, I just jumped up and wrote the message up. Proverbs 16, verse 28. It says in verse 28, Proverbs 16, 28, a perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer, everybody say a whisperer, separates the best of friends. A whisperer separates the best of friends. When I saw that, it was like it just jumped in me. The third reason why in life that you have afflictions is you listened to the whisper. Gossiper? Could be. The whisper. There's a law that's in effect right now. It's not created by any government. It's not created by man, but it's a law that's set forth by God. He put it in effect out of Genesis chapter 8, verse 28, when Noah and the ark settled in. God said, he said, there's going to be seed time and harvest. There's going to be cold and winter. There's going to be summer and summer and winter, cold and hot. Seed time and harvest. Everybody say seed time and harvest. There is a law in effect that whatsoever a man sows, that he's going to reap. It's going to come about no matter what. There's certain things that no matter what you do, what you sow, you're going to reap. You sow ugly, you're going to reap ugly. You with me? And people seem to think that we can sow whatever we want to, do whatever we want to, act like whatever we want to, and then the result that comes back on us is going to be different. And it never, ever, ever works. The reason why I wanted to bring this up, because I believe right now in America, we are being targeted more than we've ever been targeted before with the voice of the whisper. Let me just tell you this. The stock market fluctuates by what people say. Not by how good the company is. Not by what their production was. Not by that. No. By the whisperer. Somebody comes out and says, well, interest rates are going to be this. Or somebody comes out and says this. Everybody runs out there and sells. And then they give a positive word. And then everything starts to go up. I had to laugh. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago when they were talking about the oil spill. And they were talking about that. They were all angry because BP was pulling back the ships because they weren't cleaning up the oil like they were supposed to. But they didn't report that they couldn't find the oil. That little microbes that nobody seemed to know about, you telling me that all the scientists in the world, or even in the United States, did not know there were microbes that were going to come about and eat the oil? Nobody knew that. And it ate it up. So instead of all the complaining, all the gripe and all the stuff, why weren't they having a microbe producing factory somewhere? Feeding these little suckers oil. You know, get them big, healthy, and then starve them down for 2 or 3 days and dump them out in the ocean. Let them eat it all up, you know? I mean, it works with sheep and grass. Why can't it work with everything else, you know? Right? I mean, isn't it funny that God has a law in effect that works so well that they didn't have any idea about it? And all I'm saying is there's a voice of the whisper, and I believe that Americans right now, we're being targeted. I believe with all of my heart we're being targeted, and it's not, as much as I hate to give them any grace, it's not all Washington. It's the devils behind it all. They just happen to be the puppets listening to it, promoting it. Because it's rooted in a diabolical, demonic scheme of the devil to divide and separate people. Overnight, nothing's changed in our lives and we're all racist. And it don't make any difference what color you are. We're all racist. The world's racist. We never were racist before. Now we're all racist. Everything you do, every time you turn, everything, everybody's a racist. That is right. What? Look over at Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul wrote a little more about this. Verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh of the flesh will reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit of the Spirit will reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, if we have opportunity, let us do good, especially to those who are the household of faith." The world right now is just crazy. And nobody seems to understand the law of sowing and reaping. And they're targeting us. The devil is targeting us, trying to get us in fear, trying to get us into panic, trying to get us into, you know, I mean, I'm telling you what, I can pray and I can read my Bible. I can see everything the Word says for me and I can be encouraged. And then I can turn on the news and then all of a sudden it's just like, oh my, I better be digging a bomb shelter. I better be buying MREs and seeing how we're going to make this all work out. You know, are y'all there? Y'all with me? Am I the only crazy person around here? And you're just like, oh, it's all going to go down. Okay. Oh, I haven't been buying gold. I hadn't had any money to buy gold. And now if I did buy gold, it's more expensive than it ever was before in life. And why don't I want to buy it when it's the most expensive it's ever been? I mean, that don't make no sense to me. So, you know, I'm redneck, so I just buy shells. I just buy more shells. Just go buy a box of 22 shells. Makes me feel better, you know. Buy a case of shotgun shells. Yeah, it makes me feel good. You know, get a case of 223s. I said, oh, I feel a little better. Oh, yeah, we're okay. We're going to make it now. Okay, oh, yeah. Anyway. So what's happening is the voice of the whisperer is whispering in your ear. You cannot, if you want to get out of this last affliction, if you want, like the first affliction you can't get out of because you're going to get afflicted because you're a Christian. You're standing for it. It's just going to happen. The second affliction, all you can do is pray to be in the right place at the right time rather than the wrong place at the wrong time. But the third thing here, the afflictions of the whisper, is you've got to learn to hear the voice of your Father. You've got to learn to hear the voice of your Word and what the Word says, not what the world says. You know, I remember a story where Elisha was sitting with a bunch of prophets and they had food. It was hard times, and they'd gathered up a bunch of gourds, and they were putting the gourds down. And about the time everybody's getting ready to eat, somebody says, "Wait a minute, where'd you get those gourds?" And they said, "Well, we got them over there." I said, "What? Those gourds are poison. You're about to kill everybody." But that was the only food they had. So they didn't say, "Well, I guess we'll go hungry." Elisha had an answer, because God says, "All the afflictions of the righteous he delivers you out of." He got up and prayed over it and threw some salt in it and said it just needed some salt was all. I added that. I mean, why else do you throw salt in a pot of soup? Just needed another pinch. Here's how he threw some salt in there. They all ate it and everybody was fine. I remember a story of a woman whose livelihood was gone. Her husband had died. She didn't have anything. Everything looked bad. And he said, "Go out and get you some pots. Borrow as many pots from all the neighbors as you can." And he said, "And take that little curse of oil out there." And he says, "And just start pouring that little thing in there. And just pour it and fill all those pots up. And then you're going to have something to go sell." He said, just that's all you need. It really, you didn't really need a whole bunch. See, we feel like our security is in having a lot. But the truth of the matter is, if all you have is a piece of moldy bread, I mean, Jesus broke that little old boy's lunch and fed 5,000 people. Well, but Pastor Robert, that was in the, you know, that was a long time ago, and I don't know if that stuff happens today. And I mean, well, maybe we need to get to know how it works. Maybe we need to quit being doubters and start being more full of faith. You know, I want to magnify, like when James and John went to the city and they didn't receive Jesus, and he says, then they turned to me and they said, Lord, you want us to call fire down upon the city and burn them all up? Now, some people would look at that and say, God, those guys are so wicked, and they were his disciples, and around him, and look at the hardness of the heart, going to smoke everybody. Say, fire, come down. I look at it as, these guys thought they could do it. Right? That's what I look at. They felt like that if Jesus would have said, yeah, I never did like that city much anyway, that they would have stood up like Elijah, called fire down from heaven, and consumed a lot of them. Wouldn't it be interesting that in America, that everybody that keeps trying to tell us that we need to be so tolerant to every other religion, all of a sudden that they begin to say, listen, just don't mess with those Christians. They'll call fire down from heaven. There used to be a godly reverence. There used to be a godly fear in this nation. There used to be people that didn't want to do anything that would be contrary to God. Nowadays, they don't want to. There's group of people out there who keep getting all the media attention, who absolutely 100% don't want God anywhere in it, because they don't want to be convicted of the sin they're living in. That's all it is, church. Look, again, about like trying to figure out the flies and all that. Listen, that's all it is. If you're going to cheat at poker, you don't want somebody in there praying. And that's all they're doing. They don't want anybody righteous, because they want to pass one more bill over, one more bill over, one more bill to do what they want to, so they can pay everybody off and make everything work out like they want it to and do what they want to. It doesn't really have anything to do with anything. They just don't like anybody telling them no or rising up and saying, bringing God into the scene, because, man, don't get God in the house, because then we'll all get convicted of what we're doing is wrong. That's right. That's the truth. It's not as complicated as it seems. It's not that the Republicans are so bad or the Democrats are so bad. It's just that they're all listening to the whisper. That's all it is. And they say, well, listen, you know, go ahead and do this. It's like if you lose that edge in your life of going, you know, if you're at a store And you know that they gave you wrong change back, and you know that, you know, you got more, or you owed more, or whatever, and you know you did, and you're leaving, and you feel that little check on the inside of that you should have said something at the time, you know, and you didn't, and then you feel really bad about it. The good news is you felt bad about it. That's the good news. Bad news is you didn't do anything about it, but the good news is, you were convicted. Folks, we got people nowadays doing things and there ain't any conviction. That bothers me. Because to deal with a person like that, how do you deal with them? Like I preached for those weeks on the Constitution, if you lose the fact that everybody's setting their sights on that they believe in God, and that they believe in that there is a God, and that you're going to have to give an answer to him in the end of your life. Well, then if you lose that, then how do you deal with those people? Well, you can only deal with them by giving them parameters. And if they go outside of those parameters, then they got to go. And right now they just keep stretching the parameters. And it's like, the way I see it is like it's really pretty narrow, and it's all hooked in, right? And then the two lines are coming, and then they're just bulged huge in the middle. And then they come back and they connect back on the other end. And they keep saying, well, we're in the parameters, but they have just bulged the center out to where it's about to break. And my prayer is that America will quit trying to figure out why this happened and just understand that it did, and we better change it, and we better fix it, and we better fix it quick. And we better stand up, and we better rise up as Christians and not worry about the persecution, not worry about what anybody else says, and rise up and say, no, enough is enough. We're going to go this direction. If you don't go, if we're not going this direction, then we're not going. And it's not going to go anywhere until we stand up and get it fixed. Amen? So what I'm going to share with you next time, and let me just turn one more scripture, then I'm closing. Exodus chapter 14. Go to the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 14. And I just want to tell you, this is what I really feel in my heart. When Moses took all the children of Israel and God had let them out, and they were going out to the, he said, let's go out here, and they're going to go this different direction, and they'd let them out right over there, and they let them right up to the Red Sea. The Red Sea's facing them, everything looks good, until Pharaoh shows up. And now Pharaoh shows up, and Pharaoh's on one side of them, and then the Red Sea's right there, and they got nowhere to go. Now they're trapped. And what I love is, and I want y'all to understand this about our God. Jehovah God likes to step in when it looks like there's no way out. He shows up when everybody's given up and says, we don't know what to do. And I kind of think we're there in America. I'm ready for God to do something because we're kind of, there's an unrest amongst the righteous people in life. But every time we turn and do anything, we're accused of being horrible, unforgiving, racist people because we don't want to do anything. We're trying to stop the flow and it's all looks like it's lopsided. I just think it's time for God. He's about to just step onto the scene. Pharaoh thinks he's got us. But you see, I just don't see it that way. I see it one of two ways. I see it's time for God to step in and we're going to see a great change and we're going to see something really good. We're going to see a big poosh. Or it's about time to go to heaven and eat some lamb. And I'm good to go down with either one. Don't make me any difference. Okay? But that's what they were thinking then. And if you look at this story, And you start to read this story. I don't want to read all of it. You know, the people, the Israelites, they get after Moses. Why'd you bring us out here? And you're out here, and we're going to die out here in the Red Sea. And, Pharaoh would have been better to be slaves back there. Folks, I am free. I am free from the life of the past. I'm free from the sin of the past. I'm free, and I'm headed to heaven. And I don't want to go back and be a slave. I love liberty. I love America. I love where we are. Where we've been, and I'm not going to be a slave. I just want you to understand something. I'm not going to be a slave to our government. I am not going to be a slave to our healthcare system. I am not going to be a slave. I don't know what's going to happen. I ain't going to be no slave. I mean, we're already kind of hard-headed being from Texas anyway, but you throw that in with a conservative Christian on top of being from Texas, and I just ain't going there. It's not going to go there. I don't know how we're going to do it. I don't really have an answer. But I'm telling you, I feel like I'm at the Alamo and I'm drawing a line in the sand and saying, that's it, man. You cross that line. That's it. I'm over here. I'm drawing a line in the sand. That's the end of it. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm not. That's just it. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm just standing on my side of the line and that's it. And all the people of Israel said, no. In other words, Moses had stepped out believing God. And so they all said, we'd rather be slaves. They're going to kill us. They're going to kill us. They're going to kill us. And I'm telling you, ain't nobody killing us. We're not going back to a Christian burning. We're not going back to those days. I'm telling you, we're not going back to those days. Everybody said, but God. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them from them all, right? Many of the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them from them all. So They're all whining, and you see right here in verse 13, they're all whining, they're all upset, and Moses said to the people, "Do not fear. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." They're coming. Pharaoh's coming with his army, the most powerful army in the world. He's coming to them. They got nowhere to go. And Moses comes up and says, "Stand still and see the salvation of God." And I want you to know, you've been afflicted. You've had some hard times. You've got some hardships. You've got some things that come on. You may have been struck by lightning. You may have just been in the wrong place at the wrong time. There isn't any answer to it, but I want you to know today that I believe with all of my heart that God is saying to us, stand still and see the salvation of God. It's time for us to turn our hearts to Him. It's time for us to believe God that He delivers us from all the afflictions. Whatever you may be afflicted with, it's time to stand up and call out upon God and say, "You know, Lord, I don't know. It looks like the Egyptians are coming. Look at those chariots and look at those horses. But you know, God, I'm just going to stand still right here and just believe you to deliver us." You say, "But how?" I don't know. Quit worrying about it. Quit trying to figure it out. Quit trying to figure out where the fly came from. Just get him out of your house. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, "Stand still." That's the word for today, church. Stand still. Believe to see the salvation of God in your life. Believe to see Him restore. Believe to see Him put back in your life all that you need. Amen? Amen. Well, stand to your feet if you would, please. I want to pray for you right now. Matter of fact, can I have the prayer team and pastoral team come down? I want to pray for you. And I want everybody just to take a moment and just look into your heart, because I'm going to believe for a Moses moment. If you're in affliction right now, if something, you know, whether you're in affliction in your mind or in your soul or in your body or whatever's going on in life, if you feel that you know, you've been struggling with something, well, I want to pray for you right now that you can stand still and see the salvation of God in your life. So everyone just bow your hearts with me here, and whatever that affliction is, you just put it before God. Father, right now I believe you for a Moses moment. I believe you, Lord, right now that as we stand here, and those that are up with our backs against the Red Sea, and Pharaoh coming down the road, Lord, I believe you with all of my heart that right now, that your deliverance comes. Your salvation comes in those lives. Your salvation comes, Lord, over those marriages, over that sickness, over whatever the affliction is. Lord, your salvation comes over whatever is going on, whatever craziness it seems. Lord, your affliction comes. The affliction, Lord God, that's been plaguing us, that your anointing comes and it drives it out. Whatever it be, Lord God, whatever they're going through today, Lord, you have a place of victory for them, because you said that you deliver the righteous. So, Lord, we stand still today and we believe with all of our heart for your victory. Now, Lord, I just declare right now today, in Jesus' mighty name, that, Lord, as we go about this week, that though we may feel pressure, though there may be persecution, Lord, we're going to walk through it with our heads high, knowing that that's just life. That's just the world we live in. But always knowing you're with us, Lord. I pray that people will come across our paths that we can tell about Jesus. People can come across our paths, Lord, that we can pray. And we can pray with them and see you move. So, Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for our friends. for our fellowship. That even today, Lord, as we go and have dinner on the grounds, Lord, that the food is blessed, that our fellowship is blessed, our time is blessed, oh God, and that we can encourage one another in the Lord. So, Lord, put your hand upon us because we're trusting in you. In Jesus' mighty name.